Hello and welcome to The Indoorsman, your podcast guide to the great indoors. I am your triumphantly returning host, Matt.
And at some point many, many, many weeks ago, I was a co-host named Cliff. And now I am again.
We have arisen stronger, faster, better, and longer than before. And we're back to talk about video games.
Hopefully more consistently, now that most of the other life stuff is waning now.
Yes. So, I realize we said this last time as well, but hopefully we're on the right track now. But essentially, just bear with us. We'll do what we can. But yeah, Cliff, it's been a couple of weeks, and some stuff happened in video games, and in us playing video games and TV shows and stuff. Would you like to talk about that for 45 minutes to an hour?
Sure. Let's give it a crack. Try something new.
I thought so.
For our first episode back.
Yes. It's basically a reboot. This is like the cool 90s version where we get sunglasses and like catchphrases and stuff.
But in this version, I love everything and you hate everything.
Oh, what a twist. I hate it.
I love it.
How'd I do?
I think we did okay. Do you think they bought it?
I don't know. Wait, what's a catchphrase?
We have a catchphrase.
Yeah, you've got to have a catchphrase for a cool 90s reboot.
I don't know. What's a sequel movie that had a really bad subtitle in that in the 90s?
All of them?
Nah, but I mean, like, most of them just got, like, twos on the end, didn't they?
That's true.
Were there even any sequels in the 90s? I don't think there were.
There must have been.
Nope. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, that was 90, wasn't it?
Yeah, and didn't some of the TMNT movies come out in the 90s?
Maybe the third one.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, so this is Indoorsman Podcast 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Well, I mean that was the 80s, wasn't it? If we go the Turtles number 3, I didn't know this off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that's Turtles in Time.
Okay, so Indoorsman Podcast 2, Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
Nice. I think we just found our episode title as well. So, what's your personal catchphrase then?
Well,
the thing you say when you do like a cool thing, like fight a ninja or whatever.
I mean, that's just an everyday thing. I mean, if you do it every day, if that's your job, saving New York City from the foot, then, that's not really an exciting thing anymore. It's just work.
You're meant to be the positive one now.
Well, I am. Like, I'm very positive about me kicking the shit out of, like, evil ninjas. But, you know.
Okay. We'll circle back to catchphrases. We'll let them come out naturally.
As soon as I'm now the good one and I can't just say I hate everything, I've got nothing.
There's your catchphrase. I've got nothing.
We're all Care Bears. We're all in this together.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, video games, TV shows, their things. What should we talk about first?
I mean, the big one that we'll talk about later, we'll talk about it at the end, but we'll talk about Jessica Jones, so
yes,
get excited for that. I guess we'll talk about some video games, I suppose, to start, because that's what we normally start with.
Yeah.
What have you been playing recently?
This is a shake-up.
See what I did there? Yeah, I wanted this.
I hate it. I have been playing a couple of video games, a lot of repeats still, to be honest. I have still been playing Stardew Valley, but I think I might take a rest from it because I just hit the start of my third year.
It's getting a multiplayer update apparently soon.
Yeah, so I think I'll take a breather from it until that comes out. But yeah, I hit the start of my third year, got visited by the ghost of Grandpa and got the Statue of Perfection, so I guess I was doing pretty well. I've got a bunch of stuff, whole hops and casking production there, so I'm always in the money, feeling pretty good. Taking a rest from that before I come back for the multiplayer and getting married.
Strawberries
and all that.
was where I was at with that, with my money making.
Strawberries, pretty good. Hops and pomegranate wine to make pale ale and just like casking and iridium starring the pomegranate wine.
I had my strawberries in my greenhouse. So that funded everything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the least amount of effort because you don't have to do anything and swap things. It was just, they keep growing and I picked them up.
I have a complex arrangement in my greenhouse so that it is optimized so as many squares as possible are hops and still active, accessible, and then everything else is filled in with either cranberries, because I had a bunch of seeds for them, and starfruit, because they make the most expensively sold wine. It takes the longest to cask as well, but big money, like $8,000 a bottle or something.
You get to a point where you, if you're at that point, you basically don't need money anymore. If you've got enough money to afford the complex system, like you're good in that game.
I've always got at least half a mil. I've spent a long time like planting and cultivating pine trees so that I could get all the pine tar to make all the casks, to make all the everything. Ugh, it took forever. So yeah, I need to take a rest from that. But it's okay because there's other video games out there. I have been playing for review, Yakuza 6, The Song of Life, the latest in the Crime Dad series, where he's actually a dad this time. So that's a nice development. It's still Yakuza. You sometimes fight crime, but also do side missions where you just do ridiculous shit. I got to dress up as the mascot of a small fishing town and perform for children. And also spent an evening running around town trying to find milk to feed my baby. Yeah. And you can go to karaoke and all that normal stuff as well.
Of course.
It's on a new engine, which is very pretty. Like, the faces are very expressive, very detailed. Which I think they can focus on, because the Yakuza games are always kind of small scale. You've got your little town hubs that you run around and that's it. There's a lot of story that I've missed because I've jumped from Yakuza 1 to Yakuza 6. They kind of try and explain it along the way, but there's some gaps there. But yeah, fighting's still good. The effects look really nice in the new engine, and that's what they're using going forwards. So yeah, I recommend it. So I haven't gotten...
I was going to say, let's talk about the title of the game.
Yes.
So it's got a super JRPG kind of wank spiritual name.
Yeah. It doesn't really get used everywhere. So I don't know if it's like specific to the European release or something, because I don't see it mentioned in any of the US coverage. But yeah, it's Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. Which, I don't know.
Sounds vague and kind of annoying.
Yeah. One thing that has kind of flagged to me, though, is that... So, Kiryu Kazuma, the main character, this is his final game. The Yakuza series is going to keep going, but there'll be a new protagonist. He's been in 7 games now, including Yakuza 0, the prequel they released a year or two ago. So that was set in the 80s. This is set in 2016. He looks exactly the same, and he'd be in like his 40s at this point. So
I'm not surprised. That, so 6 just came out, yeah?
Yes. Oh, right. It's coming out. It's coming out in a week.
Oh yeah. So it's out like contemporary now. Soon. Like yeah. Yep. When did 0 come out? Before or after 5?
After.
Right. So. They've made a series of games. This is something that only a JRPG could do. You make 5 games, and then you have to explain more story with a prequel.
They kind of did it because it's similar to what happened with the Assassin's Creed series when they switched to new-gen consoles. They had Assassin's Creed Unity, which was being built for PS4, Xbox One. But at the same time, they released Assassin's Creed Rogue, which was using the older engine from PS3, Xbox 360. As kind of a filler game that the Offside team were working on, so that they could have something come out while the big new title with a big new engine that takes longer was getting worked on. So they kind of did Yakuza 0 as the last game in the old engine, and then Yakuza 6 and all the future titles are being developed in the new Dragon engine.
So, a prequel to a 5-episode story.
It was like an origin story for the two main characters of the series, Kiryu and Goro Majima, who's like his antagonist rival type guy.
How have they not covered this in one of the other games already?
I don't know. There's a lot to do. And now they're...
Like I said, only in JRPG land could this happen.
Yeah. And now they've re-released Yakuza 1, which was Yakuza Kiwami, which I reviewed last year. And Kiwami 2 is... coming out or has come out in Japan, and just this week got confirmed for a release in August in Western areas. So I'm looking forward to that. I like the Yakuza games. So yeah, been playing that. It's coming out soon. It'll be good. You can punch people, and also there's a mini game where you have to rock your baby back to sleep. So that's super annoying. I hate it.
Does it have like motion controls?
Yes. Like six axis. It uses a six axis controller. And it's so you've got to either like flick the controller up, raise it up, rock it side to side, or move the analog sticks. Unfortunately, the motions it shows on screen aren't the motions you need to make.
Of course not, because motion control sucks.
Yeah, the side to side is kind of signposted. Like, think of the kind of the arc that your arms would follow if you were rocking a baby back and forth.
Yeah.
It shows that on screen. What you actually need to do is shake it left to right very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing the rock, the way it shows on screen, it thinks you're raising it up and is like, no, you did the wrong motion and the baby's crying.
Basically,
more.
You need to look like you're doing like a little like sweet hillbilly dance.
Yeah, it looks like you should be trying to shake your baby to death.
Right, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, it's annoying. Do you remember back in the day where,
like, if you were playing a video game, like back, like way back in the 90s, and you're playing and you moved your controller to try and move your character, you were teased to all hell and you made fun of the kids that did that. And now you have to do that. Who thought that was a good idea? I've instantly slipped back into like old version of Indoorsman Me. Where I hate everything.
You've been replaced by your evil twin, which is a storyline that definitely happens in every rebooted franchise.
But it's like the Simpsons version with Evil Bart, where Bart's the evil one. I've always been the evil one.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I've been playing Yakuza. I haven't gotten very far into it yet. These games are very good at drip-feeding out the main mechanics over a long period of the chapters in the game. So the clan creator, which is kind of the big new thing, like... Kiryu develops his own Yakuza clan. I haven't gotten to that bit yet, and I have no idea how deep in the game it'll be released.
Gotta buy the franchise.
Yeah, it's basically just your interface for all your sort of skills and everything is you look at your phone, so there's an app for clan creator that's just still grayed out on his home screen. I'll get to it eventually.
I hate that in video games where you're like, cool, that's a great new feature, and it's just like you can't select it. It's like, I've got to play the story. Like, I got to play the bits they want me to do in order to unlock that cool thing that will just change the game completely, but I got to go through, I got to jump through the hoops to get there.
Yeah. The one thing I will say that still legitimately annoys me. So the Yakuza series, they've always had like DLC costumes, some of them goofy, some of them just like alternate outfits. And, you know, he's a Yakuza, so he's got the big tattoo down his back, which you generally only see in climactic fight scenes where he rips off his shirt dramatically.
Which I'm sure we'll see in Final Fantasy 15 any day now.
Yeah.
Just because they've added everything else to Final Fantasy 15.
It's true. So you get costumes where you can have those alternate looks, but you can only use them in what they call, I think, premium adventure mode, which is basically chapter select after you've finished the game. And it's like, I'm never going to go back and play the game. Like, you've got the cool, like, goofy costumes and the cool, like, run around with my Yakuza tattoo out costumes. Just let me use them in the game. Because I'm not going to replay it. There's no reason to. I don't want to walk around with a baby again. So that's a bummer. And they've always done it. And it's just like, it's one of those Japanese game design things that's just, don't do it. Don't.
But they they stick with it for ages and you just never budge. Regardless of people saying this sucks, they just leave it.
Yeah, because it's the way it's always been, so it's the way it's always gonna be. I've been playing that. The other game I just picked up on the weekend was the new Kirby, Kirby Star Allies, where the new
the DS one.
No, Switch.
The Switch one. All right, cool.
Yeah. So the new mechanic is you can throw hearts at enemies and they become your allies. So you can have up to three. To build a team of four, and you know, if you've got the sword power and a fire guy, the fire guy can set your sword on fire, so you've got an attack boost and all this kind of stuff. Like, it's a Kirby game. It's
like you can still consume everything in sight, like some sort of like gluttony demon, right?
100%.
Excellent.
It's just they've added some new powers, as they always do, and it's a lot of fun because it's a Kirby game. It's just chill, and it's very pretty. I really like they've stuck with, you know, the very kind of pastely look, and it looks really nice on the Switch, both portable and on TV mode. I haven't dived too far into it, but yeah, it's a fun, cute game, and it's something to play on my Switch that's not Stardew Valley, so I'm very happy about that.
Awesome. I do like me some Kirby. Most of the Kirby I played was back on the Game Boy days.
Yeah, I used to play Kirby's Dream Land start to finish over and over and over and over and over again.
Such a great game.
Oh, yes. Oh, pardon me. Yeah, so what have you been playing?
I've played a couple of games. A couple of little, like, indie weird games. Not anything sort of mainstream. I mean, I've been playing PUBG over and over and over again. But I've played a couple of other, like, weird games. I played a game, I think it's pretty old now, called Hand Simulator.
Hand Simulator?
Yeah. It's something, all right.
All right.
It's, you kind of sit in first person mode and you control your hands one hand at a time. So,
okay.
So one of the maps, that you're sitting in like a Western style saloon and you're sitting around tables. And you can play multiplayer or single. So in this, we're playing multiplayer. And you spawn, and you got to press a button to start the game. So when everyone presses the button, I think like within like a second of each other, a couple of seconds, it starts the game. So you press a button, and then there's like a gun in front of you. And you have to control your hands, fingers at a time, or whole hand. Like use the mouse, move the hand around. You have to pick up the gun, cock the gun, then point it, and then figure out how to shoot it. And so it's one of those, like, this horrible, like, weird, like, fucked up control games that's fun because the controls are so horrible. It's one of them.
It sounds kind of familiar. It feels very Surgeon Sim kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like that. There's another mode where you are standing behind, like, a crate, and you can see the other people in front of you standing kind of in a... there was four of us at the time, so we're just standing sort of corners of a square. And you have to open up the crate, pick up the grenade, pull the pin out the grenade, flick the lever off the grenade, and then throw it. Now, I could get the grenade out, take the pin out, flick the lever off, no problems. It's just that once you flick the lever off, that's when the timer starts on the grenade.
Yeah.
And then go to throw it, and it would just, my arm would go out, stop, and then I would drop the grenade, and it would just fall down, and it would just blow me up instantly.
Nice.
And I would die in the first few minutes of the game, and the others would then spend time trying to actually do their part. But I got that far very quick, but just couldn't get the hang of throwing it. So that's a fun game. If by fun, you mean like super infuriating and horrible. it's quite an experience. So there's that. But I also played another game, which is actually very, very good. And I picked it up for only a couple of bucks. It's called Super Flight.
Okay.
And it's a wingsuit game, basically. But it's all, the graphics are all very blocky. I wouldn't say cartoony because it's not round enough to be a cartoon. But it's all just like solid blocks. And the levels are all procedurally generated, infinitely generated. And you basically just cruise around in a wingsuit and you fly close to stuff or like through gaps and things. And you get points for it.
Okay.
And it's got leaderboards and things. So you it keeps track of your highest individual like point score. And it gives you, and then you, it tracks your like highest overall score. So once you die, your score resets. And you can, if you go too low in the level or you go too far away from the main part of the level, it warps you to another generated level, but you don't die. Your score continues over. Or you can take, you can find special portals that are around and they give you a bonus for hitting them. And that takes you to another level. So you can't really die unless you hit stuff. And you just cruise through and you just play it. That's the entire game. You play over and over and you can restart the level and you can try and work out like crazy. You have your generated level and you can kind of work out where the crazy runs are and if it's actually possible to go through certain tunnels and fly out the other side and all kinds of stuff like that. It's a very chilled out game. I definitely recommend it. It's only a few bucks. Let me have a quick look and see what it is on Steam. Because it's $3 on Steam right now.
That's pretty good.
I'll send you a quick link so you can have a look. It's cool. You instantly like recognize the graphics and understand what they are. Let me do it on there. Hopefully you can see that. But it's very pretty at the same time. Lots of weird colors put together. And you're just flying around like giant kind of block mountain things with some levels got spires, other got lots of caves.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very fun game. For considering how simple it is. And the controls are really, really smooth. It's very responsive, and it's easy to move your character around. Yeah, if you try and pull up too high and then go up high again, like you stall very easily, So then you just drop, so you got to take that into account. And you can just play for ages and ages and ages. And you just and when you restart, it's instant restart. There's no bullshit loading times in it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Super, super simple game. Love it. Very, very much nice. Worth the $3.
Well, pretty much any game would be.
Its user reviews are overwhelmingly positive.
That's always nice to see, on Steam especially.
Check it out, everyone. It's super soothing. And you don't need to worry about crazy sound effects, so you just put some nice music on in the background.
Yeah.
On your computer, and off you go.
Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool. Anything else you've been playing, or the big ones?
That's pretty much it. I've been playing some other stuff, but that's it's kind of a separate kind of thing that I'm trying to look into something else. But just mostly some, I played some old video games with my girlfriend. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, yeah, that pretty much does it for what we're playing then. Shall we move into some news?
Yeah, let's go into some game news. Just pack it up with some game news.
Yeah. So we're not going to try and cover everything that's happened in the last 3 weeks since we last recorded, just the most recent stuff. So I've got a little list here. How about we start with some movie trailers? Well,
before we go that, did Final Fantasy XV bring out any new DLC in the last 2 weeks?
Not that I know of.
Holy shit. Have they stopped?
No, they didn't stop. They just haven't released any yet.
So
yeah, no, I told you the DLC plans run through to start of next year now. And there's all kinds of weird exclusive costumes that came out with the PC release depending on what platform you got it on. Like the Gordon Freeman one, and there was other ones for if you got it through Origin or something else.
Well, we're talking about Final Fantasy. Did you see the other week? This just sparked my memory. That they're hiring like lead developers for that game.
Yes, they are hiring people, and they kind of made reference to where they're up to with the development of FF7 Remake.
Apparently, fucking nowhere, because they're hiring lead developers.
Yeah. Well, they said the conceptual work and stuff like that is done, I think.
Conceptual work? They've already got the game.
Yeah, I know.
You got Squall. Not Squall, that's right. That's Final Fantasy 8. You got Cloud.
Just yeah.
Add something like 50,000 polygons to Cloud. Bam. Mm-hmm. Done. Concept over.
That's it.
Yeah,
just select all, add polygon.
You've got like 50 pixels in a magic effect. Add 10,000 pixels. Mm-hmm. Bam, magic effect.
That's how it works, yeah.
You've literally got everything you need. Just remake the game.
Why didn't they hire you? You clearly know how to make this all work immediately.
They've already got the game, man. People have already modded way higher mod stuff into the game that already exists. Get those people to do it.
Yeah. Oh boy. Actually, speaking of Square and remakes and re-releases, I will just make quick reference to the fact that they released Chrono Trigger on PC through Steam.
Oh yes, I saw that.
Which everyone was very excited about, except it's a port of the mobile version, and it is terribly implemented.
Yep, and it's a piece of shit.
It is. It's still got the touch interface, the fonts are all terrible, which has been consistent with all of these kind of ports. The pixels are all blurred because I don't know what the fuck they did to it, but they should have just kept it clean. And I don't know if it was withdrawn from the store or what, but they are being forced to work on it because it is just garbo.
Well, we're shitting on games like that. Apparently, Battlefront 2 is back.
Yeah, they've come back with their new implementation for some reason. No one cares. Battlefront's done.
One of our friends, Steve, posted in that we have a chat in Discord, a group of my friends and stuff playing games, and he said, you know, posted a thing that said, this is the new stuff, I might look into it now. I simply replied, I'm not going to. They made the game they wanted to make, and they only did this because they were forced to, because people hated it, for obvious reasons. So that game, yeah, I don't think they can save that one.
Yeah, it's a little too late.
Because it came out, what, 5 months, 6 months ago?
Yeah, it's been a grip.
Ouch.
Yeah, so no luck there, Battlefront 2.
All right, let's talk about stuff we're not going to shit on now.
Yeah, so movie trailers. Let's start with movie trailers. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple recently.
I didn't watch Infinity War trailer today. Deliberately didn't watch it, so don't spoil it for me.
Okay, what can I say about it? We got a bit more scenes. It was mainly just showing different character interactions. which were pretty entertaining. It kind of highlights that the character interactions will be really interesting, kind of blending all these teams, you know, the Avengers, the non-Avengers, the space people, all that kind of stuff. I mean,
everyone wants to see Thor hang out with the Guardians, because that's amazing.
Yeah. And also the Guardians hanging out with everyone else. Mm-hmm.
I really want to see Banner meet up with Black Widow for the first time. I want to see how that goes down.
I will say all the characters are going to interact eventually because that's how this movie works. They did show a little bit of dialogue between Tony Stark and Peter Quill,
mm-hmm.
where basically Peter Quill was mansplaining to Tony Stark, and it was hilarious because it's not normally that way around. Mm-hmm. And it'll be fun to see Tony not be the smartest person in the room because everyone in space just knows more because they have more technology. Which was also how they kind of ran it when Tony joined the Guardians in the comics for a while. He came in as like, you know, Earth's foremost tech person and got handed just a random piece of hardware, like a tool on the ship, and was like, oh my God, this is amazing. What is this?
Didn't Rocket just like completely talk down to him and stuff as well?
100%.
Yeah. That's funny.
So I really hope they carry that into the movie. Also, just Spider-Man interacting with everyone will be great because that was fun in Civil War. I did also see a news post about Avengers 4 that was basically just, you know, Avengers 4 will feature something never before seen in the Avengers franchise.
Full frontal nudity.
The comment I saw was just, a gay person? It's like, yeah. It's funny because it's true. Yeah, so
if you believe the internet, there's plenty of gay people in those movies.
I mean, yes, there's plenty of combinations in there that people just would love
like
to see.
Just like I know there's like actual, I guess canon is the right word, in Overwatch because these Overwatch people get way into it, but everyone's gay in Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. I think the only confirmed one is Tracer because they showed a girlfriend in like the Christmas comic last year, the year before.
But you wouldn't know it based on the things on the internet.
Oh, dear.
Harry Potter 2. Man, everyone's gay on the internet.
Gotta love it. Avengers trailer was very good. But no Hawkeye. He's also not in the posters, so I don't know what that means. But Hawkeye's getting shunned once again.
That means we're getting our own Netflix Hawkeye miniseries.
God willing. Other trailers. What did I have? Fantastic Beasts had a new trailer.
So I actually watched that one.
And, like, again, there's been gay drama around this as well, to be honest, saying that they're not going to show the romance between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, which I believe I had a rant about last episode. But then I saw what Grindelwald looks like in action as Johnny Depp, the sexual pervert, and he looks like a monster, so I don't really blame Jude Law for not being in love with him.
I'm pretty sure we're going to get that in the finale movie anyway, because they'll have to tie in why... It'll be the whole like emotional thing, like dude fighting dude, even though the guy loved, like that'll be a massive part of the final movie where they have the showdown. I bet you 100%.
It better be
100%. That's where they'll put it.
What else? Oh, there was a teaser trailer for Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the next Tomb Raider game. Didn't really show much, but it got massively leaked ahead of time because I mean you'd think they'd learn better by now, but. The website, you know, one of those usual countdown websites before they release information, had the name of the game and the release date in the source code. Don't do that.
Mm.
It's really not that hard. Mm. If you want to put up like a timer and then a reveal, put up the timer only and then update the page like 5 minutes before with the actual reveal content.
It's like the person that designed that site didn't understand the internet.
Yeah, like, everyone will mine the code. They will dig. Mm-hmm. That's not even digging. That's just, like, right-click view source code.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's people that pull games apart. Like, pull compiled games apart and run them through a whole bunch of shit to find out how much DPS a sword will do in World of Warcraft.
Or, you know, people who pulled apart the source code for Bloodborne and found, like, unimplemented bosses and then implemented them into the game so you could fight them.
Mm-hmm.
Like... people will do ridiculous shit just to find out what's hidden. Mm-hmm. So that is there.
Speaking of Tomb Raider, I saw a great poster for the Tomb Raider movie.
Yeah.
With, you know, with Lara Croft standing there, but then someone had photoshopped her breasts to look like the crazy like triangle breasts from the first Tomb Raider game. Yeah, that made me laugh a lot.
What's the actress's name? Is something Vikander?
Yeah, it's that it's the robot lady.
Yeah.
That locks poor Bill Weasley in that concrete rich man's concrete bunker.
That's right.
In Ex Machina.
Yeah. Ms. Vikander. I've been hearing mixed reports about the movie. I'm excited to go see it, though. Because they're like, could this be the movie that breaks the video game movie curse? Probably not. But they'll give it a good red hot go. It also won't be Ready Player One, because that movie sounds like a crock of shit.
Apparently people are just saying that the whole movie is just fan service, but it's not fan service in a good way.
No, it's just, look at these things.
Yeah.
Look, you know this reference. I've literally seen excerpts from the book, and it sounds like the biggest load of garbage. Oh, man. I will not pay to see that movie. But there's been articles saying, you know, like, will Ready Player One be the Black Panther for gamers? It's like, no, it won't, because it's bad. And Black Panther was good.
But it's already got, like, the definitive video game movie anyway.
The Super Mario Brothers movie?
Street Fighter.
Super Mario Brothers movie.
Nah, Street Fighter's better. I love the Super Mario movie. I really do. Legitimately love that movie. The Street Fighter movie is amazing.
Yeah, okay. It's pretty good.
Absolutely amazing.
I'd still pick Mario over it, though.
But Mario doesn't have Kylie Minogue's cami.
But Mario does have giant, tiny-headed Goombas.
That dance.
Yeah.
They get them swaying.
Oh, so good. Yeah. Shadow of the Tomb Raider was preemptively revealed, and then the teaser trailer and the movies come out at the same time. Meh. We also had a reveal that there's another Soul Calibur game coming, Soul Calibur 6, and it will have Geralt of Rivia in it from The Witcher.
I would care if I'd played The Witcher.
I do care. Like, the character model looks very good. I like how they've kind of made all of his magic signs and everything offensive while still kind of sticking with the aesthetic of the game. Every time I see the screenshots or footage of the trailer, I feel mildly confused because I picked a different haircut for him in The Witcher 3 and had better armor because it's just the default armor.
I got the same thing with Trevor in Grand Theft Auto 5. I had a very different Trevor to the Trevor that is default, and so it just weirded me out seeing that version of Trevor. Yeah.
Yeah, see, like, my Geralt had, like, really cool, like, trench coat-y armor, the armor of the bear, and, like, shaved back and sides ponytail thing, which just looked really cool because it, like, with the physics effects, it kind of flipped around in a cool way, whereas some of the hair just was too active, very Fabio. They've gone for kind of classic start of Witcher 3 Geralt, and that could be cool. And, yeah, that's something. I probably still won't play it because I don't like the Soul Calibur games. I don't like fighting games in general.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that have been announced or released. There's an updated version of Sonic Mania coming out. Sonic Mania Plus, I believe it's called.
Wait, was that the good one or the bad one?
That's the good one. Cool, the one that was built by fans of the games, not Sonic Team.
Sweet. So adding like a tiny little bit extra and then charging full price or more?
Extra modes and extra playable characters. You'll be able to play as Mighty the Squirrel and Ray the Fox, like some of the old Sonic Chaotix characters. Extra modes, some other stuff. So for anyone who already has the games, it'll be a free update. But it's also being done for like the physical release by Limited Run Games, mm-hmm. who do the physicals for like the Vita games in the past and the Switch games now. And I think you've got like pack-ins with the physical edition as well if you want them. But I've already got Mania in digital, so I'll just get this free update with some extra stuff.
Sweet. Cool. That's good.
We also had Fortnite released on mobile devices, which is insane. Man. But yeah, everyone's very excited about it. Apparently they've made gameplay modifications, so you don't even need sound. Like, you can have visual indicators for footsteps and gunfire on screen, even through walls and stuff. So if you're not playing with headphones in or whatever, you can still have a chance, I suppose. But every mobile gamer will be defeated by every sort of PC or console gamer, 100%.
Just...
So, Yeah.
They're doing it's a pudgy choice in China.
Yeah.
Just,
I was going to say, yeah. So that's a thing that's happening. I do not intend to play it. Like, I like the visual style of Fortnite, but that's about it. I don't care about Battle Royale or anything. Meh.
Yeah, man. I love PUBG, but I've got no interest in Fortnite whatsoever.
Yeah. But yeah, that's about all the game news I have. And movie news and TV news. I'm sure there's other stuff, but that's all I wrote down.
I thought I had some. Oh, we were talking about this before. Rick and Morty season 4 apparently doesn't have a home yet.
Yeah.
Adult Swim hasn't gone yes. I don't know how they didn't just say yes straight away. Yeah, apparently from Dan Harmon himself, it doesn't have a home yet. I reckon they should just go it themselves. Or give it to Netflix.
Give it to Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, while we're speaking of Netflix, I will make reference to one other thing that I've been watching recently that I highly recommend. Nailed It. Nailed It is a show that was made by Netflix based on a, 3-year-old meme, which was the one about, regular people trying to make, fancy cakes. So, you know, you'd see, the professional cake and then, the horrible home job next to it, and it just, nailed it. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a competition, a reality show competition, where they have a professional chef and, a guest chef or someone, and the main host, who's Nicole Byers, I think. She's just, this jovial black woman who's mm-hmm. a great host. She's got so much charisma. They present them with these, fancy cakes or sugar cookies or some other baked confection.
Something that's clearly way out of their league.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the whole point. Mm-hmm. They present them, they give them all the ingredients, they give them instructions, and go. And they just get them to cook it, and so they do their best. At the end, they sort of do a side-by-side comparison of the good one, and then they spin around theirs and reveal it and go, nailed it! And they're always bad. Always. Because they don't do the things you're meant to do, you chill the cake before you put icing on so it doesn't melt and all that stuff.
I like $5 mud cake from Woolworths.
It is pretty good.
It is delicious.
But it's really nice because obviously they're going to fail, but they do it in a really nice way. The judges will say, your icing job is bad, or you didn't bake the cake enough, but you did really well on this thing or this thing.
Plus, everyone knows why they're there.
Exactly.
So they're not thinking they're top shit going on the show and then getting their hearts crushed. They're going on there going, we are shit. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, and they always make sure to highlight, you did this wrong, but here's how to do it better for next time. Because they are trying to get people to get better at cooking, and the winner gets 10 grand, so why not? It's so low rent. It's amazing. They clearly spent most of the money on, the cooking equipment and the prize money, because, the first episode, the guest judge is this 80-year-old, very famous cake maker. I don't know. She's this tiny little old woman with giant, Edna Mode glasses. and halfway through the show, she just wanders off and starts looking at all the cooking equipment. And she's like, oh, nice. And then, she's like, oh, these are, really good quality frying pans, and just takes one. It's amazing.
I can't wait to be able to just do things.
Oh, it's so good. They have two rounds, an early round and then a final round with a really ridiculously complex cake. They did volcano cakes in one episode. But they have buttons, a panic button, so they can ask for help for 3 minutes from one of the professionals to actually get through. And mm-hmm. then each episode they have a different alternate button. So one of them was the main host, Nicola, I can't remember. She would spend 3 minutes just annoying the other competitors, just getting up in the face. What are you doing? Where are you going? What's this for? Can I taste this? Can I help? Can I not help? Another episode, the main sort of professional chef, Jacques something, very French, is he will go over and give them advice, but purely in French, and just talk at them in French for 3 minutes to be unhelpful. The best one was you could freeze the others, because I think it was some sort of cold themed cake. And they just had to stand perfectly still and couldn't do anything for 3 minutes, which was very tactically used by one person with 2 minutes to go on the clock. Ooh, so they couldn't finish their cakes. And everything's melting in front of them.
Bastard move, but damn,
it's
good.
It was so good. I highly recommend it. It's only 8 episodes. It's one of those little short run shows, but just sounds so like a fun idea,
but I am fundamentally against reality TV, so no.
Ah. It's good fun, though. I hope they do more of it, because it's just... it's something good to have on in the background and have a laugh at.
Ah, now we'll go from that Netflix show onto the big Netflix show.
Yes. So, for anyone who hasn't watched all of Jessica Jones Season 2, and or cares about spoilers for Jessica Jones Season 2, we're about to start talking about it, under the assumption that you have seen the whole thing.
If you haven't, then you can't really say you're a Jessica Jones fan.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I did only finish it 22 hours ago, but...
you just scrape in as a Jessica Jones fan, but you're still a Jessica Jones fan. It's fine.
Thank goodness. So yeah, we're going to be talking through to the finale. So cut off the episode now. I mean, at this stage, you know all the usual stuff that we talk about at the end of the episode. One thing I will highlight for people who haven't finished Jessica Jones and won't listen to the very end of the episode, though, we have something cool to reveal. Do you love the Endorsement Podcast? Cliff?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right.
That's exactly the kind of reaction we expect from our audience. We have an audience. If you like...
We have an audience?
I know. It's an assumption. I hope. if you like us and would like to wear with pride how much you like / tolerate our podcast medium, we have merchandise now.
Or if you're a massive hipster and you want to go around talking about a podcast that no one listens to...
Exactly. Bam. That's another thing you can do. Mm-hmm. So the very kind people at TeePublic, who I met during PodCon at the end of last year, have garnered us with a TeePublic store of our very own. So you can now purchase Endorsement merchandise with the Endorsement logo on it, with more to come potentially. As you may assume from the name, TeePublic is primarily a t-shirt company. You can get t-shirts, you can get singlets, you can get jumpers, baseball tees, crew necks, hoodies. You can get a onesie for your baby if you want to force them to like something terrible. And then also other things, you know, phone cases, laptop cases, stickers, totes, pillows, notebooks.
All that kind of crazy, like, we totally sold out merchandise.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that is all up and available for you now. If you would like to check it out and potentially make a purchase, please and thank you, you can go to tinyurl.com/indoorsmerch. That's INDOORSMERCH. And that will take you to our TeePublic store where you can peruse our wares.
We have one thing.
We have one design on many things.
But so we might far.
Yes. We can add more anytime we like. But yes, feel free to brand yourselves with our logo. We like it when you do that. That's a thing. That's a thing that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about it.
Hooray.
Yay! The good thing with TeePublic as well is that they regularly have flash sales where they discount the price of all their items.
And
so
you all just missed one.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but they're always coming around. And it's pretty good prices to begin with. Like, the shipping is not that high because, fun fact, despite being an American-based country, apparently most of their business comes from Australia.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's cool. Check it out.
Buy our
stuff. tinyurl.com/indoorsmerch. That is a thing. And now we will talk about Jessica Jones. So you have been warned. Spoiler time. Spoiler time. Spoiler time. Spoiler time begins now.
I liked it.
Me too. The end.
It was a very small story. It did not have any far-reaching things at all. Basically.
Outside of direct effect of the characters involved.
Except our boy, Carl?
Dr. Carl?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's not dead.
He won't be dead.
I saw Carl Malice, my body.
Carl Malice is also a recurring villain in the comics. At one point, he bonded with a symbiote and became a crazy symbiote hybrid. It was gross.
Yeah, but the symbiotes are like mad sluts. They bonded with everyone.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He literally genetically bonded himself, so he was a symbiote man.
Right, right. Well, I did like, actually quite liked his character, because there's no actual villain in this show either.
He was like a sympathetic.
He's an antagonist, villain. But he's not a villain. Because I got the impression that he genuinely cared about Jessica's mother.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he obviously, like, he wanted to do crazy research. He didn't want it to fall into the wrong hands, but he still wanted to do it, I guess, for the sake of the science, like the purity of the science. and being able to do these things. But so he's sort of, he did some, I wouldn't even say dodgy shit. He just did some stuff that was like, it was so new and so weird that you couldn't even classify it as dodgy because no one just knew anything about it.
Yeah. I did enjoy that they took the opportunity to make some like deep cut references with the IGH stuff as well, like the Whizzer. Oh.
Man, I loved the Whizzer. I was so sad when he died. So sad. I love that guy. I
was so bummed. And I loved that they, like, the Whizzer is a classic character. Marvel and DC have a history of like ripping each other off in kind of like a good natured way. Marvel had the Squadron Sinister and later the Squadron Supreme, who are basically knockoff versions of the Justice League, and the Whizzer was their Flash. So the colors that he was wearing were references to the costume. The fact that he had the pet Mongoose was a reference to the Whizzer as well, or the classic Whizzer. There's been like three of them now, because of course there has. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a small number of versions for right? a hero. Yeah.
Compared to the actual Flash family, for sure. Ugh. Yeah, so... That was really cool. I also love that when he ran, he still looked like a fat guy shuffling.
Yeah, he's
just really fast.
Yeah, his special effects were great. I thought this guy could be a really fun, just like lighthearted character. This could pop up through the whole show. Nope, he dies.
No, he done.
Made me sad.
Yeah, I was also kind of bummed that we did away with what's his name, Simpson, so early. Nuke.
Drug ventilin guy.
Yeah. Mr. Red, White, and Blue Tablets. Because he's like a classic Cap America villain. Like the opposite side of the patriotism. So it was kind of a bummer that he was gone. And the Whizzer. We got Jess's mum, which I don't think is a thing that ever came from the comics. I don't remember that from reading the Alias comics, for sure. No mention of the Defenders, really?
Not really, no.
Like, she didn't even call Luke for a booty call?
Yeah, I mean, well, Luke is with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah,
Claire Temple. I think it was just too small to really be, to go anywhere else.
Yeah. I did like the direction of the episodes overall. As I think I highlighted in a previous episode, the like producers and directors of every episode were female by design. And you could kind of tell, like, there was some more interesting and creative shots. Also, a lot of focus on queer women and man butts, which was nice. Got to see that good, what's his name, associate butt. I appreciated that. What's his name?
No idea.
Her assistant. Shit.
Pretty boy.
Yeah. Yeah, like in the explicit workout scene as well.
He is in good shape and does not look like a heroin addict at all.
No. Clearly all that fucking's good for the body. That addictive fucking.
I did like all the Hogarth stuff as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite good. Boy, she was fucking cold-blooded at the end of that, wasn't she?
Oh,
boy,
yeah.
It was good.
Hoofa doofa.
Yeah, that I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and I did like all the focus on like her as a gay woman as well. Like, a lot of female gay stuff, which is what I like from like the female production lead. And also just some really cool shots. Like, for instance, when... Jess's mum was coming to kill Trish in the hospital. They had that cool shot where the camera was focused on Trish, even though Jessica was in the foreground talking to her, to kind of highlight the fact that that's not what she's focusing on, even though it's right in front of her. Stuff like that was really nice. And there was a couple of shots when Jess was getting real traumatized that just kind of focused really hard on her face. And that was kind of intense as well.
I liked young Jess as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. I just liked it. It doesn't seem like Ms. Ritter ages forwards or backwards at all at any point. She's always been that age. Yeah.
That's the assistant's name. Malcolm Dukas.
Sure.
I was very upset at the end when Malcolm cut his hair because I really liked his hairstyle.
And speaking of him and his new boss, boy, Mr. like weird, like private eye, corporate sellout. Asian man was just a prick for the sake of being a prick, wasn't he?
Yeah, just kind of a douche, and then vanished for most of the show.
Yeah, I did. I found it funny that he pissed himself in the bathroom.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of interesting that now Jerry, who's been a consistent character across most of the shows, has both Foggy Nelson and Malcolm working for her. So she's just kind of collecting all the ancillary characters.
Yeah, boy, that was great to see Foggy. I thought maybe we'll see a bit more of him now he's in the show. Nope.
Nope.
He's in there for about 10 seconds.
It's like, hey, I care about you as a human being. Fuck off, Foggy. All right, bye. Go on for the show forever.
I mean, he's probably used to that by now.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so overall, like, I kind of enjoyed it. It was a very focused story, which was cool. Didn't love the Kilgrave stuff.
It just kind of came out of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
It was, it didn't, there was no, he was just all of a sudden there. And then just annoying and grating on her. I would have preferred it, I think, if it was a,
like a thread throughout the show.
Yeah.
Even if it was just like hearing his voice or dreaming about him or something, and then the vision started when she was really cracking.
Just every now and then, just you hear like a Jessica in the background. And yeah.
And there were numerous times throughout the run of the show leading up to that point where there was very predominantly purple lighting, which I always thought, this is going to be when they make reference, but it was just always incidental.
The painting that gets painted of her was purple.
Yes, and very, very much in the style of the comic covers for the original Alias run. I loved it. Because all of her like covers were like really nice paintings early on, and yeah, in that kind of thready purple style. So it was a very nice little reference there. But yeah.
Yeah, there was, what was the main, when her and Painter Boy are fucking, they're fucking in purple and yellow paint.
Yeah, like in the purple paint, I was like, oh, why is she not having like a meltdown at this?
It would have been interesting to see if whenever she was bathed in purple light, that kind of stuff, if that's when like she got like that kind of cued hallucinating kind of thing, and that's when Kilgrave was kind of at his closest.
That's what I thought. Every time it happened, I thought,
yeah.
Because, like, I mean, I spoiled myself accidentally by hearing that he was in the cast.
I mean, that was a big leak that I think everyone just knew. Because you can't shut that up.
Exactly. So every time there was like a hint of purple lighting, I was just like, oh, here he comes. Nope.
Well, I figured that they would take the kind of like PTSD kind of thing. Like punish it, but different kind of PTSD. And go with that. Because you can't not reference Kilgrave in season two. So I thought, exactly. he'll show up in like either like a flashback or like as a figment of her imagination or something like that. But yeah, just it wasn't that great. They could have worked it in a bit better.
Yeah. Also, not a fan of Trisha's entire storyline with the inhaler.
She's annoying.
I was just like, they made her annoying. Her accent was slightly better
this time, though.
That's true. Is she Australian originally?
Yeah, she's a big She's the Australian girl from the first Transformers movie that says something outrageous that doesn't make any sense in terms of technical term. Mm. Something about hacking Wi-Fi. You're like, oh boy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the inhaler stuff just felt a bit put upon. Like, and the whole time I'm just going, I know she's going to run out and then it'll be a thing. I was upset that she got Malcolm on it. That was just like, no, don't do that to my boy.
I found it difficult to believe that Jessica, who had seen her, you know, get bad, knew her, and you know, knew she was on it. And she kept saying like, "No, I'm fine. I'm not on anything." It's like, no, fuck, clearly you are. Why didn't you just grab her by the scruff of the neck, and just like dump her in a bathtub and lock her there?
Yeah,
and so
you can clearly know how to do it.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, I'm just feeling tired. It's like, no, and like heroin guy, it's like he knew that she was on something.
Yeah,
and no one seemed to do anything about it. They're just like, oh, like, you said you're not anything, but I'm not happy about this. And then ignore it very conveniently afterwards.
The only benefit of the entire thing was it got us on the Hellcat track. I did like the cute little reference that one of the drugs that he needed to get us set up was a feline autoimmune vaccine, to reference the fact that she is Hellcat. And yeah, the moment at the very end of the finale where she catches her phone with her foot, I was like, yeah, that's cool. I felt like it was a little bit of a missed opportunity because in the comics, Hellcat's powers are mystical in nature. And like we've got Doctor Strange in the mix now. Couldn't we have found a way to thread that in somehow? Because we know magic exists now.
I think with the Netflix shows, they're taking a far more grounded approach.
Yeah.
So I think throwing some mystical stuff in there would, I guess, take out you out from that grounding. Because they are like on the street, like everyday people kind of shows.
Yeah. I just hope she gets red hair because it's not Hellcat unless she has red hair. And I hope the costume is just as garish as it is. Yeah. I just hope the costume is the garish yellow and blue number that she has in the comics. Like, I love that they've stuck with it. They had a very kind of cartoonishy, campy run that ended last year, maybe, where they kind of embraced her as kind of a lighthearted detective PI type person. Working for She-Hulk. Also, in all this lawyer stuff, why did we never have any reference to Jennifer? I need my She-Hulk reference, please. Where is it?
I'm going to go with anything with Hulk is probably tied up with Universal.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that hard to just say, like, you're going up against Walters, she's a beast, watch out.
You know how these people sue each other, though?
Yeah. Missed opportunity. Yeah, but Hellcat, I look forward to where that plays out in Season 3, because that will be fun, even though having her fucking shoot Jessica's mum was ridiculous.
I mean, so, when it comes to Jessica's mum, so, this is a thing that pops up in superhero stuff all the time. It's especially prevalent with Batman and Joker.
Yeah.
The Joker is clearly too dangerous to be left alive. Like, clearly, like, as long as he's alive, he will be murdering many, many people. Right? So, like, I know that Batman's got his whole, like, if you kill a murderer, there's still the same number of murderers in the world. Bullshit.
Mm.
But clearly, someone, like, the Joker's too dangerous to be left alive. Like, he will hurt people. Many people will die, and all you need to do is kill one person. And no one's going to be really upset that you killed that one person.
Yeah, right, so and see... That.
So it's the whole
trading off one murderer for another is one thing, but what if you kill, like, a bunch of murderers? Then you're still one.
Exactly. It's fine, you're
reducing the overall count. Exactly.
So there's that whole thing. So Jessica's mum is the same. She's not... The Joker in himself is just chaotic evil. That's just what the Joker is. But Jessica's mum, admittedly, is not a bad person, but clearly too dangerous to be left to her own devices.
Yeah, like every time she gives an inch, she takes a murderous mile.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And can't be contained by normal means.
Mm-hmm. Stronger than Jessica.
So clearly you're going to have to do something about her.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I am sympathetic with Trish shooting her because I believe in the whole, like, there is such a thing as, especially in the fictional villain world, there's such a thing as too dangerous to be left alive. But I thought it might have been Jessica herself that did it.
Yeah, like, I don't mind the fact that they killed her in the end. Like, it had to happen. Just having Trish do it felt contrived.
I guess they need to have that conflict so they can set up a conflict with Hellcat in the next season.
They need a wedge so that they can separate Jess and Trish so Trish can go learn about her powers independently and come back.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you could have had that divide just from the drugs. Like, it didn't need to be this whole production.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole thing could have happened without Jessica even knowing about it.
Mm.
As well. And, yeah. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It was, overall, it was very, very good.
It wasn't as good as the first one,
because Kilgrave is amazing.
He was. It was interesting to not have a main villain. But I guess season 3, I hope they continue with, like, the making sure there's some change in the production side of things to make sure there's new voices being heard. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I have been waiting for Hellcat for 2 seasons now. The moment I knew Patsy Walker was in it, I was just like, oh, just give it to me.
What do we got up next? Wasn't like a teaser drop for Luke Cage?
I don't remember seeing anything.
Weird little teaser. I don't think it was like a teaser. It was like a something about season two, Luke Cage?
Oh, vaguely. I remember there was something because they had footage that showed Misty with her robot arm.
They might have been that, but I just remember seeing somewhere that some tiny snippet of Luke Cage dropped, and I was like, from what it sounded like, it wasn't enough to actually warrant looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. What even series is up next? Is it another Daredevil?
I don't know. I think they're going to do Iron Fist and Luke Cage before another Daredevil, aren't they?
I think so. I'm looking up to see what they have. Live action.
There's another Punisher coming too.
Upcoming. I don't know. Wikipedia is being unhelpful, which is rude. But we do have Cloak and Dagger coming, which is Hulu or someone else. That's another series down for now, at least. But yeah, I think that's about all we've got to cover for Jessica Jones for now. So I think that'll just about do us for this week. So thank you, as always, for tuning in for your dose of the endorsement. I won't say weekly, because we can't make that assumption for a little while yet. But thank you for tuning in. We love you.
Kinda. Those people that may or may not be out there.
We potentially love you.
If you like our opening and closing music, it's Fuck Sidechain Compression on Game Boy by Rocco W. You can find it primarily on Bandcamp, but you can also go to all the other places and search engines and various things. But not Bing, fuck that. Go to Google instead.
Yeah, no one should use Bing. You can find us at endorsementpodcast.com or The Endorsement on Facebook and at endorsementpod on Twitter and Instagram, where you can check out our cover art, which I'm definitely a few episodes behind on still. Also, as mentioned before, this little spoiler section, we do have merchandise available now that you can put on your body or phone or hand, I guess, if you get a tote bag. That can be found at tinyurl.com/indoorsmerch. Thanks to the good, fine folks at tpublic.com.
Can we have a t-shirt that says, stop making Final Fantasy 15 bullshit and make Final Fantasy 7 instead? Do you think it's too much to have on a t-shirt?
You get me some art assets, I'll make it happen.
I mean, I'll come up with art assets for Final Fantasy 7 before bloody Squeenix will, apparently.
Burn.
I know, right? Scathing stuff. You can... if you want to get in contact with us directly, you can tweet at me and then hear echoes in the distance as I don't reply at Cliff and Monkey. Or if you want to tweet at someone that actually tweets actively, you can tweet at Ponk to get Matt. If you want to send us an email, which I'm far more likely to respond to that one, you can get to us at contact@endorsementpodcast.com.
That is correct. We also like it if you could, you know the usual, subscribe, review, rate the show on iTunes or your podcast medium of choice. Don't make reference to the fact that our schedule has been infrequent recently.
10 out of 10 would listen if they released every week.
Yeah, you know what, that's fine, put that up. As long as it's a 10 out of 10, I really don't care.
Are reviews out of 10 on iTunes?
I think so, plus 5 stars. It can boil down to 10.
Yeah, full marks.
Yeah.
But for now, he has been Matt.
And he has been Cliff. And by endorsement tradition, we'll send you off by saying, we'll be back, probably. Alright, we're done. Cowabunga.